Lord Jesus. Glory and praise to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. And here this morning, Father, just ask that you would fill this place with your presence and fill wherever people are watching with your presence. Father, I pray that we would have an attitude of open heart and open mind to receive from you what you want us to receive. And I give you the glory for it now, because it is you working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. Why don't you look at somebody and just say, I'm glad you're here today. Now, the person that just said that to you, you look at them and say, I hope you meant that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You are faithful.
Yes, sir.
We are continuing in this course titled Laying the Foundations. And again, this course is literally about us being firmly established on truth. Not just what man calls truth, but what God calls truth. It's to be firmly established on what you would call the basic principles of being born again. In Scripture, sometimes this is referred to as, you know, the oracles of God. Because if we're not based on the foundation and it's not firm in us, then how in the world can we be an effective witness for Jesus Christ here in the world? And I know that for a lot of churches, denominations, and Christians, what we've covered just this far would be extremely challenging. And some would leave. They wouldn't want to be a part of it because they would consider it to be heresy or false doctrine or whatever. But again, you know, we're following the pattern of Scripture. And, you know, when Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, there's no way you can do that if you're not living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. It's a simple concept, but even I didn't understand this as I was growing up because I was so influenced by the denomination wherein I was raised. I mean, it was a good denomination as far as getting people born again. That absolutely is a fact. Very effective in that. But beyond that, there wasn't a whole lot. And no need to go into all of that again. Because in this particular, well, the previous section, you know, we were talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, even that's going to be a massive challenge for a lot of Christians. But today, we're beginning section 3, and we are going to really focus in on the gift of tongues. Why did God give it, and so forth. Section 3 will help believers come to a greater knowledge of why God has given the gift of speaking in tongues. Also covered will be the various types of manifestations of this gift of the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it states, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I can remember many years ago, the very few times that other churches, this was before I was pastoring, that churches would ask me to come and minister. I was so grateful to those pastors that opened their church to me and allowed me to come in. I would minister. And then I would give an invitation, you know, to people to not just born again, but be filled with the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. Well, in that particular denomination, it was a Pentecostal denomination, and they absolutely believed in, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, including tongues. They were very big on that. But when it came to the issue of actually speaking in tongues, there was a lot of confusion about it. And I would give the invitation for people to come up and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, there might be some people come in Because generally speaking, the majority of the people that attended the churches in that denomination were filled with the Holy Spirit. But there'd be some that weren't. And some, they had, tarried for years. And then others, when they would come up to be prayed for, I remember one time there was a young man came up, and I mean literally there was fear in his eyes because the whole congregation seemed came up. Turn loose, let go, hold on, boy, hold on. Confusion. And I prayed and I asked God, later on, what's going on? Because being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, it's not that complicated. And this coming from a good old Southern Baptist boy. And yet the people in the church that ought to understand this were struggling with it. They believed in it, but it's like they were hitting a brick wall. So I asked God, what's going on? I mean, why is it like this? And he said, it's because there's so much confusion in the body of Christ about being filled with the Holy Spirit and about speaking in tongues. He said, when you minister, you need to teach on this so they have a better understanding of what to expect. And so I would do that. And I still do that to this day. It's not an entire sermon, but it's, brief, short, to the point, so people know and they understand what to expect. When it comes to tongues, the same thing is true. There are a lot of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. They can speak in tongues, but they do not know what's the purpose. There's got to be something good about it, but they really don't understand. Well, as covered in section 2, four things have been confirmed in Scripture about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And again, you can use the term baptism of the Holy Ghost or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're saying the same thing. As covered in section 2, four things have been confirmed in Scripture about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number one, this event is separate from and subsequent to being born again. It is separate from and subsequent to being born again. Now, it can happen almost simultaneously, a person get born again and then immediately be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's really the way it's supposed to be. But because there's such a lack of understanding in the church, it doesn't always happen like that. A person gets born again and it may take some time for them to get to the place of receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit because, I remember Pastor Dave Roberson, when he was teaching at a particular sermon, and he said, if you want to know one of the, and I don't remember the exact wording, but one of the greatest strokes of genius and deception by Satan, ask a church why they do not pray in tongues, why they don't speak in tongues. And whatever their answer, you have just uncovered one of the best moves of Satan that you could ever want to understand. We think of Satan's moves as killing people and so forth and all that. No, you need to understand. Remember the Garden of Eden? Satan wasn't trying to kill Adam and Eve. I mean, he knew what God said, they would die. He was trying to get them confused and deceived about what God had said so they would believe him more than God. So you have to remember, when God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall die, nothing had ever died. Nothing had ever died. Nothing at that point in history. Nothing had died. So Satan, I'm sure, was not really sure what that means. But nevertheless, the goal is to draw us away from truth. Well, number two, this event of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is available to all Christians without exception. It's available to all Christians without exception. These Christians who say things like, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. No, you don't understand the word then. You mean well, I hope. But God, if you read Scripture, leave it in context, you'll see, God has it available for all Christians. No exceptions whatsoever. Number three, God is seen in the New Testament as essentially expecting all Christians to seek and desire this experience. He's expecting. Expecting is a whole lot different than forcing it on somebody. It's almost, okay, think of it like this. When you were a kid growing up, and I know this is not true for maybe everybody, every family, but you wake up on Christmas morning and you go out, there's a Christmas tree, and there are presents under the tree, and some of those presents have your name on them. Now, your mom and dad put that present under the tree. They're expecting you to open it, right? That's simple. God has given to us the gift of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He expects us to receive and participate. It's not that challenging, but it's the confusion Satan has sown in the body of Christ which creates the problem. And number four, the initial outward evidence that a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit is the ability to speak in tongues. The initial outward evidence that a person has been filled with the Holy Spirit is the ability to speak in tongues. What happens inwardly is one thing, and praise God for it. But outwardly, that initial evidence is the ability to pray in tongues. And honestly, it is literally a miracle. People who talk about, I sure like to experience a miracle someday. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Well, yes, I am. You got your miracle. Because instantly, this is incredible. Instantly, God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, gave you the ability to speak in a language you were never trained to speak in. Now think about that. It's a miracle. And here you are speaking in a language, it's not earthly in origin, but it's heavenly in origin. That makes it even more of a miracle. You're speaking, some people say it like this, you're speaking in the language of heaven. Well, I don't know what they speak in heaven. It may indeed be tongues, what we call tongues. I don't know. But I tell you this, it's a miracle. Absolutely a miracle. You know, we ought to rejoice in that. Every single Christian who's filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues has experienced a bona fide miracle from God. Now, many people have believed and taught that the only purpose for speaking in tongues is that it is a sign that a person has received the Holy Spirit. And I've heard that. Well, tongues is proof that you've received the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah, that's true. But it's almost as though they feel like that's it. It's just proof that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. However, Scripture reveals that there are other reasons for speaking in tongues. Scripture reveals this. In addition to being the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, there are essentially four manifestations of tongues. Four manifestations of tongues. Understanding these manifestations is absolutely essential in order to avoid confusion concerning the gift of tongues. And this, what we're getting ready to dig into here, this right here clears up a whole lot of the misunderstanding. Because in so many churches that believe in speaking in tongues, they do not understand the various manifestations of tongues, various purpose for the manifestations of tongues. When you understand it, I don't know, to me, it just makes it easier to realize what's going on, what's happening, and how do I utilize this gift in my own life for my relationship with God and my spiritual growth? Well, first one, and these are not in any specific order, but the first one is tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Possibly the most unique manifestation of tongues is when it is a sign to the unbeliever. When this happens, the person speaking believes he is simply speaking in tongues. He does not recognize the language and has no understanding of what is being said. The person speaking believes he's just speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. He does not recognize the language and has no understanding of what is being said. However, and this is another miracle, somebody from another country who is listening will recognize the speech as being in his own native language. He will recognize, the hearer will recognize what's being said, recognize that speech as being in his own native language. Now, first off, receiving the ability to speak in tongues is a miracle, but then when you speak in tongues and it becomes somebody else's language, that's a miracle on top of a miracle. Praise God. You know, when you think about this, God, he's saying, you know, oh God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. Okay, speak in tongues. Pray in tongues. Yeah, but God, I want you to use me. He says, you don't get this, do you? I am using you. Well, this person hearing, he will clearly understand every word that is spoken. Every word that is spoken. And more likely than not, realize that the speaker is unaware of what is happening. So the hearer is hearing that person speak in their language, and they don't realize that the person speaking doesn't know how to speak their language. So here the person from the other country is hearing the person speaking in tongues in their language, but everybody else is just hearing tongues. This is incredible. Absolutely incredible. A good example of this is found in Acts chapter 2. Go ahead and turn over there. A good example of this is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Now, I know this. Sitting in a pew, it is hard to fill in the blank and turn the pages of the Bible at the same time. I get that. The last time we taught this, we did it down in the fellowship hall, and everybody had a table, just like being in school. And if I knew that there had been a way that we could do this in the fellowship hall with the table set up and do the streaming and everything, we'd have done it that way. We don't yet have the technology to do it. Well, the technology exists. We just don't have it to that abundance here in the church yet. So, you know, don't get so worried about, well, let's put it like this. Filling in the blanks is more important than finding the scriptures because you could end up being behind, all right? I'm trying to encourage you here in this. And if you just have to listen to me read the scriptures, that's okay. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now think about that. Here's the whole bunch of them from all these different, well, let's keep reading for a moment here. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretans, and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Think about that. So think of it this way. Here's a Russian, a Chinese person, a Spanish person, a Mexican, somebody from Kentucky. I mean, they're all there. All right? Or better yet, somebody from Louisiana who speaks Cajun. You ever heard people speak Cajun? You have no idea what they're saying. You just nod your head and, yeah, okay, all right. Anyway, here's somebody speaking in tongues. Everybody's hearing it in their language. And the person speaking is speaking in tongues. And so the Russian person says, why? He's speaking Russian. The Chinese person says, no, he's speaking Chinese. The Cajun person says, no, he's speaking Cajun. And they're all confused, confounded. How is it that we hear them speaking in each of our languages? I mean, the word miracle describes it enough. But in human thinking, that's a super miracle. Absolutely incredible. Well, when an event of this nature takes place, it is without question a miracle. The purpose for something like this is for the benefit of the hearer. Because it says in verse 11, we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. See that? So it didn't matter their background, what they're hearing of these people declaring in their language, the wonderful works of God. Well, it's for the purpose, the benefit of the hearer, the things that are said will essentially be a declaration of both the reality and nature of God. The reality and nature of God. The impact of such an event on the life of the hearer can be immeasurable, especially when he realizes that the speaker did not previously know the listener's language. I give you an example of this. When Kathy and I got married, there was a church we attended, first church we attended. Well, that church put together a trip to Israel, trip to the Holy Land. And there were several people in the church that we would have gone, but at that time we didn't have the money to do that. But several people in the church went. And included in this trip was a dinner cruise on the Mediterranean. And so the night of the dinner cruise, the people there from the church, they were on it. And I don't know how many other folks were there. But anyway, one of the men from our church group was standing at the railing of the boat, and he's just looking out at the sunset. He's praying softly in tongues. What he didn't know is one of the crew members stand back over here doing whatever the crew member was doing. But the crew member came over to him and said, "I didn't know you could speak Greek." And our friend said, "I can't." And the crew member said, "Yeah, you can. I just heard you speaking Greek." And our friend said, "Well, what was I saying?" He said, "You're talking about how great and wonderful God is, how faithful it is." I mean, so it was an Acts chapter 2 miracle that was taking place. Our friend did not know he was speaking in Greek. He thought he was just speaking in tongues. You know, just praying in tongues. And yet, that crew member heard him speaking in Greek. Now, that's amazing. And I don't know if that crew member ended up getting saved or not, but that's a perfect example of what's happening here. This particular operation of tongues is the primary reason the masses gave attention to Peter when he preached. This particular operation of tongues is the primary reason the masses gave attention to Peter when he preached. Their initial interest was in what they were hearing, the wonderful works of God. And in verse 12 here in Acts chapter 2, it says, they were all amazed, they were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" So they're now recognizing something miraculous is happening. Why? Why is this taking place? Well, they gave attention to Peter when he preached, and their initial interest was in what they were hearing. The end result was that about 3,000 people were born again. 3,000 people, about 3,000 born again, because Peter got up and he began to preach. I mean, you had some naysayers going, these people are drunk. And Peter got up and he said, "These people aren't drunk. It's too early in the morning. Come on, folks." He said, "This is the fulfilling of the prophecy by Joel." And this, to me, again, that's amazing. Because when you go back and you read this prophecy by Joel in the Old Testament, it doesn't say tongues. "I will pour down my spirit upon all flesh." And then it describes the various, you know, wonders and so forth that'll take place. Peter understood that when Joel prophesied, it included speaking in tongues. That's amazing. He suddenly had the insight. This is what Joel was talking about. And he's telling the people, this is from the prophet Joel, and he reiterates that prophecy, and then he continues to preach. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So think about this. It's one thing to have cloven tongues like as a fire. It's another thing to have, you know, the rushing mighty wind, the sound of it. But when those folks began speaking in tongues, and God worked it a miracle so that all the hearers heard it in their own native language, that right there was the impetus for thousands of people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Why in the world would we not want that to take place in the church today? Why? Now let me just kind of jump ahead. This is why when we have these times of praying in tongues here in our church, you need to open your mouth and you need to let it out. I'm not saying scream it out. But what I'm saying is, you need to speak it forth, even if it's just barely audible, but you need to speak it forth, because you don't know who might be sitting behind you. You don't know what other people are going to hear. And it could be the key that leads them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, the manifestation of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever cannot be produced or activated by choice. The manifestation of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever cannot be produced or activated by choice. I heard a story, somebody tried that one time. If I remember right, they were in an airport in a foreign city, and trying to get on the plane, and there was a tremendous amount of miscommunication. He's English, and there, whatever the language was there. So finally, he just starts rattling off in tongues, thinking that maybe there'll be a miracle, and they still didn't understand what he was talking about. And I think they were wondering, should we even let this guy on the plane? What is he doing here? But you can't activate it or do it by choice. Only the Holy Ghost can do this, and it is according to the will of God. So don't try and force it. Just don't. If it happens, glory to God. If not, glory to God. Now, the next sign or the next manifestation of tongues would be tongues for interpretation. The most commonly recognized operation of tongues is tongues and interpretation. The most commonly recognized operation of tongues is tongues and interpretation. There are some people who believe that you should never, ever, 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 never, ever, never speak in tongues unless there's going to be an interpretation. And again, that goes back to not understanding the purpose and the various manifestations of tongues. Now, simply explained, this is when a person speaks in tongues and an interpretation immediately follows. So somebody speaks in tongues and then there's an interpretation. Sometimes there's a pause for a few moments and then there's the interpretation. Now, typically this takes place in a public assembly. Typically this takes place in a public assembly such as a church service. But it can take place in a smaller venue, such as a home Bible study. In other words, it doesn't have to be in the four walls of a church. It could be at a prayer meeting someplace. People gather together. Although anyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit is a candidate for either the tongues or the interpretation, God has not promised He will use everyone in this gift. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In he's talking here about the gifts of the Spirit. And in verse 10 it says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And in verse 30, it says, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all speak or do all interpret? Some people take this verse 30 to say, well, see, the air tongues isn't for everyone. What he's talking about is the operation of the gift of Spirit for tongues and interpretation. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So you have to leave it there in that context. Just because a person is not used by God in this fashion does not mean he is less spiritual than someone else. And I want to emphasize this so much, because there are some Christians that are so caught up, you know, I want God to use me, I want God to use me, I want God to use me. He will. I don't know how, but He will. But when it comes to the whole issue of tongues and interpretation, as well as any of the other gifts, it's according to the way God wants the Holy Spirit to move in the life of the individual. You just keep pressing into God, and you let it happen whenever the Holy Spirit desires that it happen. According to Scripture, it is out of order for most or all of the people in a service to think they are to operate in tongues and interpretation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it is out of order for most or all of the people in a service to think that they are to operate in tongues and interpretation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 26, Paul says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." In other words, what was happening, this church was so out of order. And he's saying, you know, what's with it, you guys? Every time you come together, it's like the whole bunch of you thinks you ought to be giving up and giving, prophecies and tongues and interpretation. He says, no, this is out of order. Hey, listen, anybody can speak in tongues, and another person can give an interpretation out of their mind, but not out of their spirit. Remember that. It's very important. According to Scripture, it's out of order for everybody to think that they can just come in and speak in tongues and interpret. When a person senses the Holy Spirit moving on him to speak in tongues, he is to wait until anyone else who is speaking to finish. He's to wait until they're done. I've seen this in churches. Let's just say there's supposed to be order in a church service, and this is what Paul is dealing with. It is wrong to interrupt someone for the purpose of speaking in tongues. It is wrong to interrupt someone for the purpose of speaking in tongues. I was listening to a sermon by Kenneth Hagin. It's toward the end of it. He may have even started praying. And then on the recording in the background, you can hear some lady, she just starts speaking in tongues. And he said, ma'am, please don't do that right now. You know, God's moving in a different direction, doing something else. And she wouldn't stop. I mean, she just kept going. He said, ma'am, please stop that. Please don't do this. It's out of order. She would not stop. She just kept going. Finally, he said, would somebody escort this lady out? Because she was out of order. Totally out of order. And here's the crazy thing about it. When she was asked the first time to stop, she should have stopped. I can tell you what was going on there. That was a Jezebel spirit. Now, I'm not saying she was demon-possessed, but she was trying to take over that service. She may not have recognized it, but it's wrong to interrupt somebody for the purpose of speaking in tongues. Once the tongues have been spoken, there should be an interpretation. Once the tongues have been spoken, there should be an interpretation. And this is where a lot of people make a mistake, not understanding all the manifestations of tongues. They don't think that. In fact, I actually had the leader of a Pentecostal denomination tell me there's nothing in Scripture to support a congregation praying in tongues. And I was so shocked by what I heard. But the reason for this is because there are a lot of people that think it should never happen in church because there's supposed to be an interpretation. Well, yeah, in this situation, there is. But not when everybody's praying in tongues. Anyway, God may give the person who spoke in tongues the interpretation, or he may give it to someone else. Some people are used by God more frequently than others for the interpretation of tongues. Some people are used by God more frequently than others for the interpretation of tongues. The reason for this is that they may be more sensitive to the Lord for interpretation. They may be more sensitive to the Lord for interpretation. If a person is in an unfamiliar public assembly, he must be extremely cautious about speaking in tongues. Extremely cautious. Because it is possible that the other people in this service are not filled with the Holy Spirit and would not understand what is taking place. Therefore, no one may be present to interpret. When I was a kid, about, I don't know, maybe 14 years old, my mom was telling me about it was some kind of a service being held in, I don't know what the venue was, but it was a gathering together of people from different Southern Baptist churches. And she said that at some point, somebody started speaking in tongues. And she said, now we didn't believe in it, all right? Mom didn't believe in it. And she said that, I guess, I don't know, some of the ushers, they came and I guess they escorted him out and explained to him how wrong this is. It's like, so you just don't do it to be doing it. And sometimes people want to show off in front of others, they can do this. No, don't do that. No. Now, I understand if you're not used to God moving on you for something like this, it's hard to explain this. But when he does move on you, it's the right thing to do. Sometimes he moves on you and gives you a revelation of something, and he doesn't want you going off on tongues because the revelation he's giving you is for you to have better insight as to what is going on. So, always be cautious about this. Don't let your emotions dictate when you speak in tongues for interpretation. Well, what's the purpose for tongues and interpretation? Well, essentially, there are two purposes for tongues and interpretation. Two purposes. The first is edification, exhortation, edification, and comfort. Exhortation, edification, and comfort. Exhortation, edification, and comfort for the people in general or for a specific person. These types of messages will always, always line up with what is contained in the Bible. Such messages will never contradict Scripture. Never, never, ever. The guarantee of this is the fact that the Holy Spirit is the source of the message. The Holy Spirit is the source of the message. If an interpretation of tongues does not reinforce what is recorded in God's Word, then the interpretation did not come from God. If that interpretation does not reinforce what's in the Word of God, it didn't come from God. Such interpretations are usually based out of a person's emotions, even though their intentions are good. Now, this has happened here in this church. Not a lot, very infrequently, but it has happened. Now, from my position as a pastor, the one thing you don't want to do is squash the intent or enthusiasm of the individual. What they need is instruction and guidance. They don't need embarrassment. And if they can't handle the instruction or guidance, and the instruction or guidance, it should take place away from the service, not in front of people. You just don't do that. Because their intentions are right. They're just missing it. And this can really, it can happen a lot during, say, times of praise and worship, where somebody gets moved on, you know, their emotions are really stirred. And this is especially true for people who have what you would call traditional Pentecostal backgrounds, to where in many of those churches there's a lot of emotion tied into the praise and worship. And to be quite honest with you, sometimes I think there are some of us in this church that could use a little bit of that emotion on occasion. That's me. But nevertheless, that emotion can carry a person over into stepping out when they shouldn't. Because, see, keep this in mind. God worked a miracle in you to give you the ability to speak in tongues whenever you want. That means you can start speaking in tongues. I mean, you can be going through the grocery line and just look at the person doing the checkout and just start going off on tongues. You can do that if you want. It's out of order, but you can do it. And when it comes to a church service, you absolutely must be sensitive to the Lord. There are times when we've had somebody speak in tongues, and I've been standing right over there where I always stand, and I'm praying and I'm asking God to give somebody else the interpretation, because I don't want it to always be me. I want every one of you to learn how to be sensitive to God so that you can give interpretations when He would want you to. In fact, there have been maybe two times, maybe three, I don't know, where tongues came forth, and I'm praying, and I'm asking God to give the interpretation to a specific individual, and He does. And again, it's because I want you to become so familiar with the move of God in you that He can use you whenever He desires, and you're going to be able to distinguish between your emotions and what He is wanting to do in you and through you. So don't ever think that just because you don't get the tongues or you don't have the interpretation that God doesn't love you. But another thing, I know this has happened. Somebody in here, in a particular service, God's trying to give them the interpretation, and they're afraid to speak out. What if I'm wrong? Okay, well, if you're wrong, we'll let you know. Now, I don't mean we're going to embarrass you. But if if it's out of order, I'll explain why alone. I may just, if necessary, just send you an email, something like that. But I know there have been times when God was wanting to give somebody the interpretation and they were afraid to speak out. And they could sense on the inside He's wanting to do this, but they back off. And then the interpretation is given to somebody else. Listen, I've been there. I can remember there are a couple of times, and this, we're 40 years ago. Tongues were spoken, and man, it was in me, I could feel it, but I was so afraid, so scared, because I'd only been filled with the Holy Spirit for a few weeks. And I thought, I'm not ready yet for doing anything like this. I mean, and then I resisted, and then somebody else gave the interpretation. And when they did, what I sensed lifted. I knew what it was. It's like, man, I blew it. Well, you know what? God will still work with you. If you blow it, you blow it. But recognize when this is so important. Because see, for every one of us in this church, you are included in this. God wants to use you. He absolutely wants to use you. The other purpose for tongues and interpretation is to give direction and instruction to people in general, or to a specific person. People in general could be the congregation of the church. Such an interpretation is also referred to as a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. A word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Whenever this type of message is delivered, it will not instruct people to do something that goes against God's word. It may be relative to either present or future events. It may be relative to either present or future events. If such an interpretation is telling people to do something, that person should always, always, always pray and ask God for confirmation. Always, always pray and ask God for confirmation. I remember one time there was a lady was telling me about a church service. She and a friend of hers were attending there on the front row. And the guest preacher, he's preaching, and he got kind of toward the end of the service, and he looked at the lady's friend, and he said, "The Lord just told me that you're to write a check for $100 and give it to my ministry." And then he went on with what he was doing. And the friend leaned over to the lady that I know and said, "What am I going to do? I don't have a checking account." Yeah. That wasn't God. Always ask for the confirmation. Whenever tongues for interpretation takes place for either of the two purposes mentioned above, the hearer should always judge the interpretation in light of the Bible. Always judge it in light of the Bible. So important. This is why studying the Word, reading the Word, sowing the Word in you is so critical. Because it'll be easier to pick up on an interpretation if it's wrong. The more a person matures spiritually, the more he will be able to discern between genuine and incorrect interpretations. The more he will be able to discern between genuine and incorrect interpretations. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, why don't you all stand up, lift your hands, and tell God how much you love Him. Tell Him how thankful you are for your salvation.